Like everybody's been doing Christmas songs, right? So we'll do a Kissmas song.
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
What's up, Kiss Army? Merry Christmas.
And Mr. D-Rock.
Hey, happy holidays, everybody.
Yeah, it's the holidays. Eggnog and booze and turkey and ham and presents and...
cookies.
And cookies, and every time I turn around, there's something sweet.
Yeah.
I'm falling asleep on the couch watching a movie after you're done eating.
Yeah, that'll happen. So, it's Christmas. This is our Christmas episode.
Yay, Merry Christmas. It's also our Peter Chris's birthday kind of celebration, too, because his birthday's on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he's a Christmas baby.
Yeah.
Literally. Okay, so we got a lot to cover. But before we get started, I wanted you guys to know that this Wednesday night, Jody and I are going to be doing our regular radio show on KGFRocks.com.
Yes, the 21st. The 21st.
Tune in, 8:30 Eastern Time. Bill Starkey's doing the show with us, the main man from the Kiss Army.
Commander-in-Chief.
Yeah, and he's going to, we're going to play some Kiss music, and it's going to be, you know, most people don't realize that he's a school teacher, and, you know, so having free time, especially right now, he's excited about it because he doesn't have to go to work the next day, so that means we can party online.
Yeah!
So, KGFRocks.com, tune in Wednesday night at 8:30 Eastern Time, listen in online. Go to our Facebook page, and there's just a player. You can click right there. Anyway, let's move forward. Let's get in with some news.
Podcast Rock City News.
I went online today looking for stuff. Besides the fact that Kiss keeps announcing more tour dates, you know, overseas, there's really not a whole lot of stuff. I will tell you the few things that I've found so far. If you guys go on KissAsylum.com, they're having a big Kissmas Christmas sale. So go there and check things out, man. They just posted a new autograph collection for sale, which is pretty cool. Also on that website, KissAsylum.com, they have a video of Bruce Kulick doing Detroit Rock City like swing jazz.
Really?
Yeah. I would play some, but, you know, I don't know if that's okay.
Maybe we'll play some on Wednesday night. We can play whatever we want on the radio.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. What do you think? Detroit Rock City, swing jazz.
I don't know. You know, I'm sure it sounds cool for what it is.
It might be interesting, but I don't know.
It's got to be better than what the Boston's did and tried to make it ska.
Yeah, that's true. You ever see the video for that?
Never seen the video.
Yeah, there's a video. Go check it out.
Like just a regular music video?
Uh-huh.
Cool. No, I haven't seen that. Who's in it?
Gene.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'll have to dig that up. I'm sure that's on the old YouTube or somewhere. Well, no, I never knew they had a video for that. I saw the one, I think there was another video, though, from Kiss My Ass, but now I can't remember which song it was. It might have been Anthrax.
Was it Anthrax? I know the Anthrax. I don't know. I
can't remember.
If you watch Kiss My Ass video, man, they've got a few different ones. They have Anthrax. They also have...
Look at the Gin Blossoms in the studio.
Gin Blossoms did Christine 16, right?
Yeah.
If you watch that, man, he's actually showing off his Kiss Lunchbox.
That's cool.
In the video, which is that's pretty cool. I'm still knee deep in Gene's book.
Oh yeah, where are you at now?
Let's see. Eric passed away.
Oh man.
Yeah, so it's all depressing. Man, one thing that I, you know, because I'm such a big fan, you know, when I'm driving and he's describing shit, I can actually see it, and I got to keep catching myself from like staring off,
riding like, off the road, thinking about Gene's life and shit.
Oh, terrible. When Gene was talking about how his mom was hitting a lady in the head with like a tree limb and making her bleed, I actually could see that shit. It was pretty messed up. Anyway,
yeah.
Also, hey, man, look, what else happened between us doing our radio show last week and now? Hey, man, didn't the guy that sang with Kiss on The Voice, he won, right? Kiss was on The Voice.
Yeah, Sundance or whatever.
Yeah, Sundance head.
You know, that kind of freaked me out that it's like some big country guy, but then he gets up there, you know, doing it with Kiss. But when I found out, you know, that was like his brother's favorite band and he passed away, you know, and it was like a tribute to him, I could understand it, you know?
Yeah, that's pretty badass. That's pretty badass. It's one of his favorite bands, too, they said.
Yeah.
It was cool to see them get on stage in the Creatures costumes and you know, and do it. It was pretty happening. And then, and I talked about this on the show on Wednesday, you know, when they mentioned that the guy's father, who apparently was some famous country star, was at the thing, Gene flipped out. And I was like, wow, man.
Like Roy Head or whatever.
Roy Head, yeah. And apparently Gene listens to his, like, I guess he was like a one-hit wonder, but apparently Gene listens to that guy's song every single time he puts the makeup on, which I thought was pretty interesting as well, man. When he mentioned that he had been there, Gene's head whips around like, he was here? It's like, yeah, yesterday. It was pretty funny.
That's crazy.
Also, something really, really, really interesting happened. I saw an interview. It's also on KissAsylum.com. If y'all haven't been there before, go there now. Check it out. Keep listening to the show, though. There is an interview. It's Talking Metal at Revolver Awards with Ace Frehley. Did you see this, guys?
I haven't seen it, man. I've been feeling like shit all week, so I've just been laying low.
Well, it's like 9 degrees where you are, so and the wind chill's like 57 below, so I wouldn't even bother getting out from the covers. Anyway, okay, here we go. I got to take a deep breath when I do this. They interview Ace, and he starts talking about writing for the next record, you know?
Okay.
And Sunshine's with him.
Oh, shit.
Yep. His girlfriend's with him. And she mentions, now I'm having to go into my memory here because I watched the interview, but I believe she said she's written 2 songs for the new record.
Rachel has?
Yeah.
Really?
Interesting.
Very. But when you buy an Ace Frehley record, I want songs by Ace, not his girlfriend. Yeah, it was kind of cool. Jeanette supposedly contributed lyrics to Speed Back to My Baby, I think. But come on.
Don't get me wrong. I like the fact that people, you know, maybe writing's fun when you got other people sitting around. And, you know, but like I said, it's like buying a record and then finding out that, you know, Ace didn't play on this song or that song. You start to go, and don't get me wrong, they're going to tell us who wrote what and, you know, on the record. But when I buy Ace's record, I want to hear Ace's words and, you know.
Exactly. And that's one thing if she contributed a lyric or maybe a lyrical idea, I can live with that. But if it's like, oh, this song is, you know, space this or that, written by Rachel exclusively, it's like, that's not what I'm wanting, you know? I mean, but who knows? It might be a great song.
Yeah,
we'll so have I to guess wait. We have to just wait and see. But like you said, man, and like I said, you don't want that from an Ace Frehley record. You want some Ace Frehley songs.
Yeah, you know, and I don't want another space song.
I don't want to rule it out, but I don't think that it should be like a prerequisite for his one of his records that always have the obligatory space song. It gets a little stupid, you know?
Right. After, you know, it's like 6 and 8 of them in a, on one record.
Right.
All right, so it's Kissmas.
Hi, this is Paul Stanley, and I know many of you are hoping Santa will bring you your guitar on Christmas Eve, but if you don't get one, try to forget the fact that I smashed somewhere in the neighborhood of 350 of them to bits this year. Merry Christmas.
Okay, so what do you want to talk about? Peter Criss, is that where we're at?
We could talk a little bit about Peter Criss. It will be his birthday coming up in a couple days, so let me hear why Absolutely. You love Peter Criss.
I love Peter Criss. I love his solo record. I'm never afraid. The Kiss solo record. The other stuff I wasn't really ever that fond of, but I did love his solo album while he was in Kiss. I never shy away from that. As a matter of fact, when I was thinking about it today, I was like, man, I could probably go for I Can't Stop the Rain and Kiss the Girl Goodbye today. That's such like sappy songs, but they're so good.
Yeah, he sings his ass off on those sappy songs. You know what I mean?
That's his thing, man. His little, you know, you listen to his solo album, and it's very, it's just, you know, that's the one thing about the solo albums that were awesome is that they were genuine to the person writing the music. You know, they were what they wanted to do. And, you know, when you go back and you find out that they wanted to do solo albums, and then, you know, Billy Coyne was like, fine, everybody's going to do their, you know, take some time, go do a solo record, you know. Then you know that it wasn't like something that Kiss planned. It was, you know, when Peter wrote music, it was, if I was putting a solo record out, which I am now, what would I play? And to me that, you know, it was just so daring. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, he took a huge risk, even though in his own head, I don't think he thought of it as a risk because of Beth, he figured, you know, 10 Beths is better. But to the Kiss audience, that's a huge risk, man. We don't want a whole album full of ballads. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that was kind of daring, for sure.
Plus, I think it was a good idea, you know, with the solo albums, because you got to see, you know, what each separate person's, like, musical style was or influence was, you know, that contributed to how Kiss got their sound, you know?
Right, absolutely. Let's see. I opened up his Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah.
George Peter John Criscola. The Catman, born December 20th, 1945. He will be 71 years old, and he is from Brooklyn.
Yep.
Let's see. It says, under his occupations, it says, musician, songwriter, producer, actor, author. You know, he did act, man. You remember that? What was that episode of?
What, like that Millennium?
No, he did that, but they were all in it. What was the show? What was the show about the prison, man? I can't think of.
Oh, Oz.
Oz, yeah, man. There he's in Oz.
Yeah, I never saw that.
Oh man. Yeah, it's like somebody, you know, here somebody called me up. And was like, man, Peter Criss on Oz, he's in jail. And I watched it, and it was pretty cool, you know. Of course, it was, you know, Oz was like the precursor to like all these shows where you're watching and you fall in love with characters and you're waiting to see who gets killed.
Right.
You know, I guess it was the same with The Sopranos, huh? You know, You know, and then you got The Walking Dead now. But Oz was like that. It was like week to week, you didn't know how many of your characters were going to keep, you know, keep going. Peter didn't make it.
Yeah. I'll have to dig that up somewhere, man. I wouldn't mind seeing it. I'd take more issue with him calling himself a songwriter than any of that other shit, though. You know?
I mean, yeah.
Did he really write any of that stuff? I really don't think so.
Well, you know how it works.
Let me ask you this, man. See, I've never met Peter Criss. Met just about everyone else. Never met Vinny or Mark or Eric Carr. But everybody else. And how was it when you met Peter?
Man, was he just really the cool? nicest. He was the nicest. He was just so friendly, you know, and very seemed genuinely happy that we were there and appreciated the, you know, it was really funny because when I put my leg up to have him autograph it, he just started going, "You kids and your tattoos." It was just really like my grandpa yelling at me, you know, and it was like, and that's when he said, you know, I should have a tattoo artist over in the corner to make some extra money, you know?
Right.
And he was super nice, you know? He stood there with Karen and I and did the picture and smiled, and his wife was there, and she was talking. It was really funny because Karen was like, when we left, she was like, his wife was as friendly as he was, you know? She's just talking to us, you know, and I don't know how all that goes, you know, because I hear stories. You know, if you go and listen to Lydia, sometimes you'll hear that she was supposed to be at an expo when Peter was supposed to be at an expo, and then it was the promoter called and said, "We're going to have to drop you because Peter's wife doesn't want you here," or something like that. And I heard her tell that story one time. That's kind of messed up. It's like, it's so old.
Yeah, it's a long time ago. Almost 40 years ago.
That's like Ace. Ace is like really nice too, because when Jody and I went to go meet him, like a couple days before I lost my leg, you know, I was in a wheelchair, and I was like the only one. He came up from behind his table to come over and kneel down by me and shake my hand and get my picture taken with him, you know?
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Peter smiled a lot, you know? He seemed happy. I have to say that I kind of felt like I've met Paul, but not recently. You know, it was way back when they were doing the Alive 3 autograph party tour or whatever they were doing.
Yeah.
Ranking them, Gene was very, very, very awesome. Peter was right below, and Ace for that, you know. I just, sometimes when I'm watching him take the pictures, he didn't seem all that happy, but Peter was definitely awesome. I was reading this right here about, there's all this stuff on here about all of his old bands and everything, you know?
Yeah.
Like Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any of that stuff. Do you have any of that?
I used to have that Chelsea record a long time ago, but I don't have it anymore. I never had anything by Lips, or I never even really had any of his post-Kiss shit, really. Clinton was the guy that, he always liked Peter Criss, so he got like out of control and all that, and I was like, I don't really need this in my life, you know.
It says Peter Criss was involved with a number of bands throughout the mid to late 60s. It was during this time that Criss joined Chelsea, who had a two-album deal with Decca Records. The group released a self-titled album in 1970. They never recorded a second album, and in August 1971 became Lips, a trio consisting of Criss and his Chelsea bandmates, Michael, and looks like, I can't even read that dude's name, Benvanga and Stan
Penridge, that's the guy.
Yeah, Penridge. Yep. By the spring of 72, Lips was just a duo of Criss and Pendridge. He really, you know, he worked his way up.
Yeah, he paid his dues, man.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Killer drummer and everything back in those days, but I pretty much only like what he did in Kiss, though. You know?
Yeah, and I don't go for that BS when they talk about how, you know, if you listen to Gene and Paul talk about him, it's like he had very little talent, and I do not go for that. That's a fail for them. I'm a musician. I can, you know, I don't know how he was in the studio, but live, he's fucking threw down.
Oh, yeah. at least up to a certain point.
Yeah, to a certain point. But you look at him when he was hungry, you know, playing those Kobo shows.
Oh, yeah, dude.
You know, on video, it's like, man, nobody hit harder. Nobody, you know, grooved harder. And if you watch him back there, he was as much of the show as anybody in the front was.
Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah, he was an absolute monster back in those days, dude, for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, Peter Criss's solo album was my first Kiss record because it had the kitty cat on it.
Yeah.
So there's a special place in my heart, you know?
Right. Hey, what do you think about him doing that whole, like, tour at the L.A. convention coming up? I would love to do that with him. You heard about that?
I heard a little bit. So what's going on with him?
Basically, I think you pay like $150, right? And you get on like a sightseeing bus, and Peter's leading some sightseeing tour all around L.A., showing like, you know, famous Kiss sites, like where they recorded Hotter Than Hell and, you know, shit like that.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
I mean, that's way cooler than just going and getting your picture and an autograph. You get to hang out in the city, drive around with Peter Criss, and then I don't know how it's going to work. I guess maybe once they get somewhere, Peter will tell some stories about it or something. I'm not sure how it's going to go, but man, it sounds like a blast.
So this corner here, they tell me that we shot.
Right. The Hotter Than Hell photo shoot, maybe. I don't know. Maybe they go to Magic Mountain. I don't know. But
whoa, that would be fun. If we went to Magic Mountain and I was on that thing and we got near the roller coaster, I'd pick a fight with him.
Totally.
Come here, Peter. Boop.
Yeah.
Come on now, jump at me.
That's great.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I pretend to shoot at him a laser beam out of my eye.
Yeah.
I dress up like one of the samurais and pull out one of my mini swords. Be like,
I'll have to have some, like, another guy that goes and narrates the tour, though, if we're going to Magic Mountain. Can't be his own voice.
Yeah, that's true. I have to have the guy from Scooby-Doo do his voice.
Yeah.
When it comes to Peter, you know, when we talk about him, most of the time we're very fond about him, you know, when it comes to Peter, because he was such a huge part, you know. It's not like later on in the band when he was equal, you know. He was the equal member, you know. The Catman was as important as the Star Child or the Demon, you know. Everybody loved them as a foursome.
Yeah.
And do you ever like sit back and go, damn it, Peter, you know? Why couldn't you just been happy with what you had? You know, and I know that it's in our nature, you know, as human beings to A, want more, and B, fuck shit up, you know?
It's yeah. Like,
but, you know, every once in a while I'll be sitting back and listening to, like, Alive and going, damn, man, they never sounded like this again, ever. They sounded cleaner and crisper and tighter, but they never sounded like that.
Nope. No one really played like Peter. Definitely Eric didn't. Not Eric Carr. It's like totally opposite.
Totally opposite.
Everyone says it's Peter's swing, but I think it's his like jazz, like the way he uses his toms is very different than most drummers of the time. You know? It's really cool.
Yeah.
And like you said, that's a big part of that sound.
Yeah.
Even something as simple as like Strutter, you know, the beginning. That's an iconic little simple fill, but if you would have just had any other drummer, they might have just clicked it in, like, you know, with no fill. Who knows? But yeah, Peter Criss is the Ringo of Kiss. You got to have him, and he solidified that unit, you know. You had to have those four dudes. That's just the way it is, the way it was.
Yeah, it's like they said, you know, he wasn't a hard rock drummer, but what he did fit so well.
Yeah, and that's what made Kiss sound like an original sounding band, because if you look at any of the other bands, especially the New York bands, none of them sound anything like Kiss, dude. None of them, you know.
Yeah. I was even I've been watching the Behind the Makeup thing. I watched it a couple times, you know.
Yeah.
And recently, and you know, even the interview there where, you know, they're talking about the superhero thing, and you know, Peter's like, "I know we're supposed to be superheroes with muscles." He goes, "I'm just a musician. I'll always be a musician." And I'm going, I swear you still don't get it. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, here, and of course that was 2001. So, or maybe 2001 or anything like that. I can't really remember exactly, but it was that many years ago. And even then, he still didn't get it. You're still not getting it, Peter. It's not you.
Right.
It's not you. It's the Catman. You
the Catman.
Are
it's the rhinestone-studded cat god of ancient Egypt.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's just like, and you know, if he would have gotten it, it would have been more fun to him. You know, because he's going, I'm just a musician. Yes, you are. But the character you're playing is now a superhero. You know, thus the muscles in your outfit when you're a Mego doll.
Right.
Although, man, if you look at some posters, Peter's ripped.
Totally.
Yeah. He had some 6-pack or 8-12 or whatever. I have the kegger.
Yeah, I got the pony barrel going on myself. <It's> like,
what were those things when we were kids? Party balls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Remember the party balls?
Yeah, that's old school, dude.
Yep, sure is. I got news for you. When they're empty, they float.
Yeah.
Another story, another time. Right. Anyway.
Hey, I got a question for you guys. Yeah. Since we're talking Peter, what is your absolute favorite thing that he's ever recorded? Kiss or otherwise? So it doesn't have to be anything he wrote or whatever. But what's the best thing he's ever recorded? Best song?
I like Hooligan.
Yeah? I like that one, yeah, too.
Man. I like Hooligan. I like that song a lot, man.
That is a pretty cool one. What do you got, D-Rocker?
Well, you should know mine. We recorded it. Getaways got to be my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good song, too.
I like that one, too. I like all of the ones that he sang in Kiss.
What was your favorite, Jody?
I'd have to go Black Diamond, dude. I mean...
Oh, yeah, that's true, too.
That is great, too, but I didn't want to overdo it. I figured somebody would mention it.
No, I like Hooligan because I always feel like it's almost like that song could be about him.
Right.
You know?
Totally.
It's when he's telling the story, you know, and the song's the story. When you're listening to it, you're going, he sings it with so much passion. It almost feels like, I don't know, like it hits home.
Yeah.
I just love it when his live is like, satisfy you.
It's so, I could have swore you were going to go with I Can't Stop the Rain, though.
Nah, I love that song, but, you know,
he gives a great vocal delivery on that fucking song.
Yeah.
You can tell he means it, you know?
Yeah.
Ho, ho, ho! I'm Paul Stanley. That was Heavens on Fire. You recognize me, right? You know, with Christmas here, I needed somebody to help me wrap all my presents, so I called Santa Claus. Santa sent me... Sharon. And Lydia, Santa's helpers. Wow! Now listen, with all these presents I have to wrap, I was thinking to myself, what's Santa have in store for me this year? I mean, I've been good.
Well, Santa's got something really special for you, Paul, right, Lydia?
Well, we can't tell him what it is yet, but...
Not yet.
I love the wrapping paper. It looks so good. Stay tuned. We got lots more for you.
Podcast Rock City. Yes!
So it's Kissmas, dude, and I reminded D-Rock of this old story that happened at, like, fucking Christmas time with Kiss, man. I think he should tell it to you because it's funny.
All right, I'm down. D-Rock,
oh, God.
And go.
It's funny. All right, well, this was, like, years and years and years ago, like, back
high school.
In high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Jody was dating this one chick, and... She had a friend that I was had the hots for. Her name was Samantha. And, I mean, she was, like, gorgeous.
Samantha's a good name, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Samantha.
And, anyway, it was, like, wintertime, and we all got together over at my house, and we were going to watch the Winterland video because Samantha was a big Kiss fan, too, and she had never seen it. So I'm like, okay, well, this is my chance to... be alone, you know, with her and Jody and his girl, you know, but, you know, outside of school and whatnot to where I could actually talk to her, you know, and
yeah, talk to her.
So yeah, I'm kind of shy when it comes to talking to women that I like, you know, but
I would have never in a million years thought that. I would have thought sure you would have been like, sup.
Dude, I can talk to anybody, but when it comes to Kiss, just weird shit happens with me and girls, whether it be good or bad.
Yeah.
Always has been that way.
So we're at my house, and we're watching the Winterland thing, and my mom made this killer fucking chili, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we're all fucking snacking on chili, and we were just driving around, and we decided that we'd go sledding.
Oh, God.
You know, there was this... There was, like, this killer, like, hill behind the cemetery there. And so we decided to go sledding. Well, she wasn't really dressed for sledding. You know, because she was wearing, like, the big furry boots or whatever, you know. But was, like, wearing, like, a skirt thing. Because all she was doing was going from the car to my house, you know. And so we're out there taking turns going down this hill.
Oh, God. Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. It was her turn to go down the hill on the sled. And she's going down the hill, and she kind of, like, leaned back a little bit. And I couldn't tell what the fuck she was doing. And the sled just kind of, like, went out from underneath her, and the sled just went off. And she's going down the hill. All of a sudden, you just see a brown trail all the way down the hill.
That's disgusting.
It was so disgusting, dude.
The chili gave her the fucking shit. She was snapping herself all the way down the fucking hill.
It's like a brown stripe, so
we just kind of took off.
Yeah. I don't even, you know, in my whole life, I don't know if I have anything to top that.
Dude, her face was beet red, dude. She was so embarrassed. And it was just, it made it even more funny.
I mean, it's like you've seen those movies, you know, where, like, a dude, like, gets in a car wreck, goes flying out the windshield, face plants on the asphalt, and you see a big blood skid mark going down the street.
This was different.
Yeah, it was like that. I mean, she just took off down the hill. Didn't even make it, like, a tenth of the way down. And all of a sudden, you just see brown trail right behind. I'm like, God, dude.
Oh, man, I'll never forget that, dude.
Oh, my goodness. Went from Winterland... to, like, poop stains.
I can never watch the Winterland show again without busting up laughing thinking about it.
All right, so.
So, yeah, Merry Christmas. Try not to think of that when you go sledding this year. And if you eat
so
chili.
Sam, if you just happen to be listening or something, I'm sorry, hon, but that was fucked up.
Always probably forever after wore Depends every time she went sledding, just to be safe.
I would have been.
I bet she wears Depends every day anyway, just in case she ends up having a mishap.
Scarred her for life.
That's messed up. Oh, my goodness.
Such a hot girl, but such a dirty brown stain.
How do we go from talking about Peter Criss to talking about...
I don't know.
That was Jody's fault.
It is Jody's fault. All right, so let's see. I was looking at Peter's acting stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it says, in addition to playing himself in 1978's Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park, once again, he didn't play himself. It's like, Catman, it's like, okay, anyway... in 1999's Detroit Rock City, but he didn't even have any lines in that, so is that really acting? Criss has appeared on two television programs in minor roles. In 1998, he appeared as Nice Cop on the 13 Years Later episode of Millennium. That was the episode that we were talking about earlier. And it says, and in 2002, Criss appeared in two episodes of the HBO prison drama Oz as inmate Martin Montgomery. He also played the role of Mike in the motion picture about JFK assassination, Frame of Mind. I never knew that.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't either. You learn something new every Christmas.
It talks about his drum set. It says he has played Slingerland, Ludwig, Pearl, and drum workshop drums, Zildjian and Sabian cymbals, and then, you know, Promark and...
Yeah, sticks.
Sticks. It talks about his solo stuff. So Peter Criss' solo album, Out of Control, Let Me Rock You, Cat Number One, and One for All, which came out in 2007, and nobody noticed.
Well, even the people that did notice couldn't hardly leave there without their ears bleeding.
Yeah, poor Peter.
You know, we talk about it every time we talk about the dude, but why doesn't he just do the damn rock and roll album that he's been promising since, like, the 70s?
Yeah, he's always been saying he has a rock and roll album that, you know...
How cool would it be if him and Ace just got together? Ace wrote the songs, Peter sang them, you get Anton on drums, and that's all you would need is those three, because Ace could do the bass.
Yeah, see, and it would be great.
And then you'd have the half of Kiss, so you know it's going to sell a bunch of records, and then we'd get kind of like an old school formula, you know, like a Strange Ways or a Getaway or, you know, any of the ones that Ace wrote that Peter sang. Be cool.
Yeah, I wonder what his relationship with Peter is like, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like, I don't know. To me, I don't really think Ace likes that kind of drumming. Because if you look at any time he does anything on his own, it's not anything. It's always like someone like Anton that's totally way more technical, you know?
Yeah.
And more straight rock and roll rather than that swingy big band style, you know?
Yeah, that jazzy blues style.
Because, like, if you even, like, a lot of Ace's songs... on like his solo album, I don't think Peter could pull that shit off. You know? I mean, maybe. No. We've never really seen what Peter's capable of, probably. Maybe now that he's, you know, as old as he is, it may be too late, though, you know? How cool would it have been in, like, 78, though?
True.
Instead of solo albums, you could have had Gene and Paul make a record and Ace and Peter make a record. What do you think that would have been like?
Man, that's pretty interesting. I wonder if, you know...
Gene and Paul would sound just like Kiss, but...
Yeah.
I think the Ace and Peter record would be really wild. Which one would have sold more, you think?
Well, I think the Gene and Paul probably would, because back then people wouldn't have expected it to sound any different, so they would have stuck with the one that sounded more like Kiss than they would.
Yeah, but here's my thinking. You know, we can always hear Gene and Paul songs. Exactly. So the chances of Peter and Ace putting a record out and everybody going, you know, okay, I know what that one's going to sound like, so I'm going to get this one first. But then again, it was just two records, so maybe you just bought them both at the same time.
Yeah, totally. It's a lot more inexpensive than four, you know.
Yeah, but you know, and Ace would have been there to, like, rein in Peter, you know?
Yeah, there probably wouldn't have been any ballads if Ace wrote the songs. But think about maybe if Peter sang Rip It Out, you know? Or Peter was singing Speeding Back to My Baby or any of those songs. Pretty badass.
Yeah, you know? But, you know, we do know from, you know, from interviewing certain people that his solo album did outsell Paul's.
Same reason, man. It's that curiosity, because like you said,
yeah,
you know, same reason.
Despite what we keep hearing, you know, the mess up thing is every time I tell people that, they're always like, man, you have a show and you don't know that Peter's was the worst selling? And I'm going, yeah, no, it wasn't. You know? It's like, you know, of course we're going by, it was Julian's book, right? You know, and he did the research, and, you know, he looked it up, and he found the numbers, and the numbers were Gene, Ace, Peter, Paul, just like that.
Gene makes sense. Everyone wanted that album until they heard
it. Yeah. I'm glad, you know, when it comes to that, I'm really glad that they did all the solo albums with the same artist doing the picture on the front, because it made it more, it gave it, like, a connection to each other, and, you know, and the art on them is perfect, and... You know.
Oh yeah, the art's great.
That would be somebody to get on the show.
Yeah. I think it would have been cooler if they all used the same producer, so there was like a consistent sound. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
I don't know, though. I kind of like the varied. There's so much different material, you know. If you want something kind of, you got a ballad album with Peter. You got a Kiss style record with Paul. Gene shows their Beatles side. Ace just shows a killer guitar player letting loose, you know.
Yeah.
It's like those four things make Kiss. So.
Yeah. It would have been, God, it still would have been cool for Peter to put more rock on his.
That's a debate that will never probably ever see the light of day because now he's too old and we're never going to get it, man, unless.
Now he's 71, you know.
Do you think that, like, suppose he went in the studio with just some killer band, made some killer rock tracks for him to sing over. Do you think that he'd still have that killer, you know, rock and roll scream raspy voice?
I don't know, man. That's tough. But, I mean, you know, it's not like he's blown out his voice, you know. I would imagine that he could still, you know. When I met him, he was in pretty good shape. He seemed, you know, he didn't seem fragile or anything, you know, for 70, or at the time he was like probably 68 or 69. And he didn't seem fragile or anything. So he seemed, you know, he was wearing, you know, his sneakers and his blue jeans and, you know.
Right.
He seemed, you know, like he had, you know, his wits about him. So, you know, 70's not that old, so
yeah,
maybe he
but
could.
Screaming like he did on Hooligan at 70, I don't know, man.
Maybe not, but
I'd love to see it, though.
You know, you guys out there listening, I would love to know your favorite Peter Chris song. Podcast Rock City 1.
That's the number one.
At gmail.com. Send us the letter. Man, we got a bunch of people signed up now for our premiums, section of podcastrockcity.com. If you guys don't know what that is, go check that out. It's if you just go to podcastrockcity.com, there's a thing that says all access shows. Click on that, sign up. It's 99 cents. It's less than a dollar, and then you could go on there, and Jody and I did all the and D-Rock, he was in on it too. We did all this extra recordings and had some fun. We did the Sweet 16. I read we dug up some old magazines, 16 magazines, and we read some interviews off of that because, man, it was pretty cool because, you know, that it was just different, you know. It was when they were in their heyday, so that, you know, they answered questions differently, and it's pretty fun. So podcastrockcity.com, it's just a buck, man, less than a dollar. You know, you can check it out. There's video in there as well of my, I did a tour of my Kiss room. And, yeah, I think you would dig it the most. We got a bunch of people that signed up this week.
Cool.
Yeah, pretty awesome. Jody, what else we got? Is that it? Are we done?
I don't know. There's not a whole lot going on, man, you know? Kissmas. You got any, like, Kissmas memories of your own? They don't have to be about girls staining hills, but,
No,
like
you
getting
know,
certain records for Kissmas, or
I don't ever getting Kiss records. I can tell you this. I, you know, when I first started dating my son's mom, before we got married, this one, it was, you know, it Kiss had already done the farewell thing, you know.
Yeah.
And but there was still all this Kiss merch out there, you know?
Oh yeah.
And this one Christmas, she I think I want to say it was our first one, man, she just loaded me up. It was everywhere though, you know. Every you could go to Spencer's and they had a whole wall, you
oh,
know.
Yeah.
And that was a really cool one. Last year, Karen, my girlfriend's parents got me Kiss Alive 3 on vinyl. That was pretty epic. And
nice.
I do owe it to her for that because they were like, we want to get Joe something. What do we get him? And she was just like, I know what he wants, you know?
I remember I went into Spencer's one year and I wish I would have had the money for it, but I was only a teenager then, but they used to have the Kiss busts, you know, like the molded heads, you know? I was like, man, I wish I had the money for these.
Those things were cool.
At my work, we have a full set.
Nice. You know, the coolest Kissmas thing that I ever got related to Kiss on, like, for a Christmas gift was my first fucking Les Paul.
Really?
Yeah, when I was, I don't know. I'd had a couple other guitars, but I needed a Les Paul because of Ace, you know, and Slash, and Jimmy Page, and fucking anyone who has a great tone, you know. But, yeah, I didn't expect it, and I ended up with a fucking sweet black Les Paul one year for Christmas. And then
wow. I
became fully aced out.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty sweet. Chrome pickguard, chrome truss rod cover. It was dope, dude. It was a sweet guitar.
Man, where is it now?
It's gone.
Oh.
It was a cool guitar, though. It was my first, so it was pretty groovy. But yeah.
That is. That's a good story.
Yeah, it's all right. I got, you know, I'd get Kiss records here and there and various Kiss items from, because when I was like really young, Kiss was like, I was one of those hardcore dudes who collected all kinds of shit, you know. Nowadays, not so much. But anyone in my family knew all they had to do is give me anything Kiss and I'd be happy, you know.
Yeah. My family knew that too, and they still didn't do it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I have my girlfriend, oh, man, she listens and pays attention all year long, so I know this Christmas is going to be epic for me, and I'm going to be very excited. And if she's listening, the pressure's on now.
We got faith in you, Karen.
Yeah, she's epic, man. But yeah, so that's our Christmas episode.
Merry Christmas, one and
Merry,
all.
Merry Christmas.
Remember, Santa. Pterodactyls hate the screech of electric guitars.
That's true.
I was thinking about Kiss and like Christmas songs. Can you think of any of those? The only one I could come up with was Burn Bitch Burn as a Kiss Christmas, a Christmas song. Only because of Log in the Fireplace.
I don't know. I you know, what would be a...
Burn Bitch Burn is about all you got.
Yeah, I guess that's it right there, you know? Yeah,
sure
I got
you
nothing.
Put your log in the fireplace this evening, fellas. It's Christmas time.
It's Christmas. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it. Don't forget this Wednesday night on KGFRocks.com at 8:30 Eastern Time, Bill Starkey will join Jody and I on the radio to play Kiss music and have some Kiss talk.
Hey, this is Rachel Bowen from Skid Row, and you're listening to Podcast Rock City.
Jody, do you have anything to add?
I would add Merry Christmas. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you when we see you. Thank you.
Absolutely. D-Rock.
I just want to wish everybody happy holidays, and I hope everybody has a great Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel the same way.
Don't eat any brown snow.
Oh my god, it's totally the nastiest episode we ever did. And it's at Christmas time. Anyway, totally perfect. Thank you guys for listening. We are Kiss fans, podcast fans, and we listen to tons of podcasts, and you're going to hear all the commercials for the shows that we listen to after I'm done counting down from 3, 2, 1. Peace.
Peace.
Merry Christmas.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Greetings from Jandel Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast is having a rock and roll party and you are invited.
Right.
Tune in and hang out with your Kiss Army bros where they celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder.
Kiss!
You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, and Stitcher. Just Google us.
Yes.
Thanks for listening and remember to eat it like a piece of cake.
History Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah. Oh, f-
oh, f- Lee, come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And Sirius.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
Kiss Podcast on the web. Kistery Science Theory. We bust balls because we care.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting podcast, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your podcast. Every month, the podcast crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkiss.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkiss.
The Podkiss, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
Hey everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll and it's always free.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood. Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation
behind. We're going nowhere and that's just fine. I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you and goodbye.